Hi everyone, it's Josh from Dungeon Boys, welcoming you back for another episode of Adventure as we play through The Wild Beyond the Witchlight. In our last episode, we helped Jingle Jangle with her truffle trouble, Sir Talavar is set free, and we found a waterspout with a prize inside. What secrets will we uncover, and what adventure will we find? Join us as we explore more of The Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
I know there are trinkets up there, but I can't see them from where I am.
You cannot see them because they're floating on top of the water, but you know there's something on top of this thing.
Okay. I want to, like, jump into the water and okay. Let it shoot me up and try to grab one of the trinkets.
All right.
There you go.
You jump into the center of the water. It is extremely fast moving, but with your strength and dexterity, you're able to press into the water. Hopefully you've held your breath. And you begin to be very quickly propelled upward by this flow of sludge. Directly up. Now, you must roll. This was, we're going to call this acrobatics. To okay. Be able to gather as many trinkets as you can.
Can I give myself bardic inspiration?
Not inside this water. If you could have. If you did so before you did it, I think so. But at
Rusty,
this point.
Rusty, you seeing this?
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Are we gonna do this?
If he gets it done, I don't suppose we really need to, but I kind of want to.
I mean, I can see it. Prince, you all right in there?
All you hear is the rushing water. By this time, roll an acrobatics, I guess, a dexterity saving throw to see...
Those are two different things.
Yeah, roll an acrobatics check, not a saving throw. This isn't happening to you. You're attempting.
I don't do it.
Hold on, I've got a system in my head.
I got 9.
Okay, in my head, I'm going to offer, the DM is going to offer the system to the public. There were 4 trinkets. You're obviously a dexterous person. 5 is 1 trinket, 10 was going to be 2, 15 was going to be 3, and then 25, or 20 was going to be all 4. So you're able to nab one of the trinkets on the way out. I need to go find out what.
I just flown up there and grabbed all 4 of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm a frugal man.
You can fly? Oh, yeah, with your
crown, yeah.
I could just send a bird to go now.
Yeah, but he doesn't know it's there. He just knows there's stuff there.
I could have told him to see.
But you didn't.
All right. I mean, so, I'm going to roll a quick...
Because we're riding a snail up a well.
I'm going to roll a quick D100.
This is D&D, man. Weird stuff happens every day.
88.
That's breakfast.
Your trinket is number 88
on the table.
A full-grown
cow.
You just slam into it, break every bone in your body.
I got it.
On your way, shooting out of the water, you grab onto a candlestick.
Ooh.
With a candle in it. It's a
Well, thank you so much for saving me.
Put it back.
We are very late. The semester wants us.
No, you just grab a candlestick. You shoot out of the water off to the side and go tumbling down and splat into the 5-foot murky mud below, gripping a candlestick with a candle.
Right, you good?
It's rather ornate. It is a silvery looking candlestick. 3 trinkets remain at the top. You splat into the mud.
Prince, you good?
I give a thumbs up. I imagine I landed kind of face first.
And what is it?
I hold up the candlestick. Where did you end up? I guess behind the snail?
Yeah, on the mud beneath you somewhere. I mean, you splat into the mud and then sink down and eventually stand up with your head above the mud. Yeah. And your arms, I presume.
How much damage do you take?
That's 40 feet. It's a pretty good fall.
There's also mud.
Yeah. But it's soft. It's soft mud.
Squishy.
What was the it is, you take damage 10 feet a D.
Not really even surface tension. So after 20 feet, it's 1d6 every 10 feet.
Let's just say you take 1d6 of damage because of the mud. Just 1d6.
Okay. I think I have a cool idea.
Okay.
So are we at the top of this well?
Yeah, thing? At this point, the snail... At this point, Robert's head is peeking over the lip of the thing. He looks... His eye stalks turn back at you, and they, like, go side to side, like, I can't go any farther.
Climb the water, Robert.
So at this point, you are on the well. The snail shell is sticking out as, like, a platform right next to this water.
All right. I'm gonna...
Prince! Are you done? I think I have an idea unless you want to try again.
Well, I'm going to make my way back up and try again unless you completely succeed.
Okay, I'm going to give it a shot then.
All right, I'm going to move up that way.
Wait.
Okay.
I'm waiting to climb. I'm sorry. Could I possibly... How tall is this? 30 feet? 40 feet?
The well is 10 feet. The water is 30 feet higher than the well. So 40 feet.
Do you think I could tie the rope around Survivor and then lower it down?
Around. Yeah, wrap a rope around Robert's shell and drape a rope down? Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, I'm going to do that. And then try to find him and do it.
You take the rope in your hand, one end of it. You swing it around. It goes around the backside of Robert's shell. You catch it with the other hand and tie it off, and now there's a rope down to the bottom.
Dang.
Huh?
I said dangling.
Okay. Oh, although you said dangling, like I screwed something over.
The challenge, it's gone.
Oh, wait. I'm going to use my new hat of wizardry.
Ooh.
I can use any cantrip if I pass a intelligence DC check.
You're smart, cookie.
I forget that you're smart. It's not charismatic. Just about that.
Yeah, I'm just real in charismatic. DC 10 intelligence arcana check. I got a lot of the arcanas. So that is a 13, so I do succeed on that.
Okay.
I'm going to cast Shape Water.
Water?
Yeah, you can cause the water to form into simple shapes and animate at your direction. This change lasts for 1 hour.
Like a swan.
Yeah. I'm going to shape it into like a single layer of the water that's flowing up. I'm going to shape it into a net so it, like, floats up to the top as the water is rushing up and grabs onto the items.
I like this.
Splashes out.
A water net.
Yes. But
okay.
It's still just water, though. It doesn't add solidity to it.
Does it not?
What's the spell say?
It's water.
It doesn't say.
You can make it into ice.
Because, yeah, you're supposed to just shape.
It just says it doesn't have enough force to cause damage.
So, yeah, you're essentially just, like, making images in the water.
I guess we have to figure out, does the magic forcing this water into the shape of a net, is it enough to make sure that the water remains forced into the shape of a net when it hits an object?
I guess that depends on the weight of the object.
I think there's another cantrip that allows you to, like, freeze the water.
I think shape water allows me to freeze it as well. Freeze the water provided there are no creatures in it. The water unfreezes in 1 hour.
Instantaneously move or otherwise change the flow of water you direct, so just...
Yeah, it's a 5-foot cube. I can just redirect the whole stream for, like, 1 second.
It lasts for an hour.
Yeah, okay. But I think that's like you can keep shifting it back and forth, like, during that hour. So, like, once you cast it, you can just move it back and forth.
Does Rusty believe his water net idea will work?
I suppose.
Then that sounds like that's what we have to do, regardless of whether or not.
I mean, he passed an intelligence check, I figure. I
need another pen, by the way. This one is not working.
Do you want me to roll intelligence to see what idea would work?
I don't think Rusty's that type of guy. I think he would just do it.
I like the sound of it.
Rusty is an intelligence-based character. Like, he acts goofy because he doesn't have any reason not to. But he's not dumb. So, I mean, I don't know it as the player, but I feel like Rusty would know how stuff works.
I say give it a shot.
I like it. Let it rip, and I'm gonna deal with it as
we. All right, cool. Pull the cord. I do it. I make a watery net of water in this watery fall of flowing water.
Okay. Lots of brine and muck and Rusty's juices.
Mm.
Lots of juices.
So many juices.
It's just a drain for that. You took a bath in.
I would hate to be anyone who's standing beneath this snail right now.
Okay. So, the net begins to rise. You cast your spell. Is there any components or any verbal components? What do you give me some flair?
Somatic. That's
somatic as well.
Huh?
No, somatic is hand gestures.
Yeah.
You flail at it.
I do like a sort of weaving motion, like a weaving a net.
Okay. So you weave, Rusty weaves a net that forms in this water and it floats up to the top. As it gets to the top, the magic binding this water together for the brief moment that it is bound is enough to move the... It doesn't wrap around them and bring them down to you for any stretch of the imagination, but it is enough to push these things and guide them somewhat to the edge of the water, and the trinkets move to the side and then tumble down. One of them falls down and lands on the lip of the well. There is a small, long, metallic wand-looking thing.
Try to catch it?
That lands on the side of the well. It's falling. You're welcome to try to catch it. Roll an
athletics. Can you
catch something? That's dexterity?
It'd be like acrobatics.
So
athletics
like
is more strength based.
Catching would be dex save.
Yeah, acrobatics.
I don't think
dex.
You can help him catch a thing.
I feel like you just get in the way.
Well, hits, I was thinking like this, my time. Hand under
not
this
my strong
the wand hits your hand.
I got it.
It hits your hand and then bounces off.
I don't got it.
It tingles off the edge of the well and sticks down into the mud beside Dermot.
If not helping, can he try and catch it as well?
You're welcome to.
He has longer reach, so he misses it.
Roll a dex save.
He got damn long fingers.
10 feet fingers.
Throw a toe out there.
Dexterity saving throw?
Mm-hmm.
Prehensile
17.
A 17. Woo! As it begins to tumble down to the mud, rather, Eric reaches out and grabs this wand-shaped piece of metal.
Hey, got it!
Grabs it.
It's a lightning rod.
Also falling is something that looks about the size of a baseball. A round thing.
What's that?
It looks more like an eyeball than anything else. It also splats against the side of the well and then rolls off down towards the mud where Dermot is.
Are we catching?
Dermot. God, I
said it twice.
Like two weeks ago, I couldn't have told you your character's name from the Strata campaign, and now I can't get it right.
I am, so seeing that these guys are trying to catch the items, I'm just kind of like waiting. If it makes it past them, then I want to try to catch it.
Okay, so the eyeball is falling down. Roll that deck, save.
May I?
Yeah, whoever.
Yeah, you've dropped the wand.
14!
14, you're able to palm this eyeball as it splats against your hand. It is definitely an eyeball.
It goes a little bit between your fingers.
Before I
throw it down.
The final trinket is the one of the most irregular shape. It falls down directly towards the back of the snail. It looks like a pair of oddly shaped bolos. If you've seen odd items tied together falling towards you.
Those would be balls.
Would they be? They're irregularly shaped, so not quite spheres. But they're following towards you, and they look as though they have been affixed together in some way. But they are headed directly for the snail. Currently, Rusty is forming his nest.
Catch it, so Robert! Catch it!
It's falling directly for Rusty's head as we speak.
Do I have time to grab that one, too? Or
you're currently
too
holding
busy?
A wand. You have a disadvantage at now catching this bolo thing.
I'm
very irregular.
If he falls, I do not try to catch him.
Okay. Who?
Him.
Okay, gotcha.
Any of them.
13. That's dexterity saving throw, right?
Yep. With disadvantage.
19. 17.
A 17. You're able to grab onto the string tying these two things together, and as they hit your hand and swing around, wrapping around your wrist, you notice it's a pair of boots tied together.
Hey.
It's Michael Jordan's sneakers.
Oh!
I was hoping that he'd have the whole twig in one hand and berries in the other.
Robot testicle.
That'd be awesome.
So you now have these trinkets. As you have these trinkets, the water does begin to subside a little bit, as if to, you know, as if this was, they were linked together somehow. You can neither confirm nor deny whether that is, but the water begins to go down and the rain begins to cease, and it kind of returns to a slow gurgling over the side.
Rusty, did you turn the water off?
No, at least not intentionally.
That's a little too convenient.
We see anything going on with those sparkles?
Yes, I was wondering if y'all were going to make what y'all were going to do with Robert. Y'all are just kind of sitting up there on the snail. Prince is down there glurbling in the mud right now, I assume.
Well, I was like trying to climb up.
Okay.
So I imagine I'm like right above with like one hand on, like trying to catch.
Okay.
I'm going to give the wand to Rusty because I know he likes trinkets and all that. And I'm going to keep the boots on with me and then to have one hand to tell the snail what to do. Animal handed.
Okay, sure.
Back it up.
No, wait. No.
Robert, no.
21.
Back in the shell, 21. Lights
up red. You say, good job, Robert. And Robert begins to back himself down the well and into the mud. Prince, I assume you maybe go to one side as you hold on to the side, and the shell of the snail re-enters the mud as you all shift your weight, making another platform in this blurbly mud hole that you find yourself in.
When you make an athletic check to keep...
This time it's pretty simple.
Right. I'm going to reach down and pat the snail.
Okay. I was going to do the same thing.
Good job,
Robert.
I'm sorry, but I can't help but think that anytime Robert makes any of these delicate maneuvers, that it sounds like a very large diesel engine.
Oh, Robert's rolling coal again.
Do we know what these items do?
No, but before you even know what these items do, you hear a whooshing. A sound of magical whooshing from the well. And then before you see some brightish lights, almost like little circular spirit lights, and you hear a few different voices. The first voice that you hear, the one that rises above the rest, there's a clamor. It's like, wait a second! Don't you take that stuff from us! That was my candlestick! But the voice you hear the most, as these four different spirit orbs, these wisps, appear above you, you hear, "Not so fast, me boyo! You won't be living with me boots like that, no you will not!"
Wait. How big are these boots?
They're very small.
I see.
Hey, anybody know who that is?
Rabbit?
Rabbits don't fly around. It's not homely. I don't
know. No, you wouldn't know who I was or who I am. Obviously, you're just here to take my trinkets.
Do you know who we are?
The dark. Can't say I care.
Whoa. Can we have time to explain ourselves?
Yo, please explain yourself.
What was the thing called again?
The well
shot out with water, and we were just trying to get, we saw trinkets and we wanted to get them to see what they were, because we didn't want to lose them.
Well, see, now you've seen them, give them back!
To see if there was anyone else that wanted them, see if they're like,
there is!
Theirs.
We four! We want them back, give them back to us!
I'm gonna speak up real quick,
please.
We actually came here to see if the trinkets were linked to the well, because the well, we believe, is creating the swamp. And we don't want the swamp, because the swamp, I don't believe, is the natural state of this place.
Right.
And if you have had something to do with the creation of this well and the creation of the swamp, its distortion, and it becoming an abomination unto Sibilna, we will have problems with that.
Yeah, and you don't have feet.
No, I don't have any feet. And I certainly don't have anything to do with the swamp. These are just our trinkets. They ended up in this well.
Why are they yours? They were just out there. They were in the well. Why are they yours?
Well,
yeah, this is kind of a little convenient.
It's a sore subject, but we four have passed on.
Obviously.
We passed on to the, we're bound here by these trinkets.
So if we break them, you pass on?
Just give them back, okay? We've agreed that we want to keep the trinkets with us here in the well. We don't know what happens when the trinkets go away. We don't have unfinished business. We're bound here by our trinkets. We're happy to be that way. Now give them to us. But now, real quick, let me parlay with the group. He turns around. It's an orb. The orb turns around to the other group, and you hear some whispering.
It's got little orb butt cheeks.
The orb turns around, and he says, you can hear them say that. They look pretty serious. I'm not sure we could win against the valley if we wanted to take them in. One of them said that. The candlestick, I really want my candlestick bang.
We really want that eyeball. It's been a long time. Snatching it. And you hear some whispering like,
okay, sounds like a plan, me boy.
So while all this is going on, I want to be doing the same thing with these guys. Like, I don't know. I mean, they're already like, incorporeal, like, why do they need stuff? I mean, it sounds like the first sign of order. Like, is this an intervention? Are we helping?
I felt like it's kind of too convenient, because as soon as we grabbed theirs, the water dialed down, and as soon as we started heading out, they appears.
They were already up there.
Yeah, oh, really?
That's true. Yeah, I didn't see that. If they don't have anything to do with the well, I'm fine giving the candlestick back. But if they are directly responsible or indirectly responsible, I want to stop it. That's the objective. That's why we're all here. We want to avert crises.
The Irish / many other accented orb turns around. And the apologies to anyone who is a leprechaun.
Or an orb.
The only way to find anywhere close to what a leprechaun sounds like is for me to say mi boyo. Take it up with your local government. I don't know.
The fake government.
So he says, all right, we've come to a few decisions. One, we'd like to tell you, we got nothing to do with the whales. The whales popped up whenever old Lorna took over this region.
Where's old Lorna?
You're not from around here, are you, me boy?
He's on to us.
No, around town.
I do have
Bev Lorna is the hag that controls the land. And there wasn't a swamp before she arrived, and now there is. Swamp is responsible for tearing down our homes, destroying our livelihoods, and unfortunately for me and my companions here, unfortunately again, that I'm stuck here in this well with.
Me boyos?
Unfortunately, you know, due to the swamp, we lost our lives. I think these things are the last vestiges of our physicality that are here in this well, and we've got no place else to go. Locked here by, it's the Feywild, we can't get anywhere else. The trinkets are all we've got. So, we've come to an agreement.
That's kind of sad.
If you got something good to trade, we'll be happy to give you what you find. But if you don't have anything in exchange, it'll be our displeasure to dismember you and make you hurt. We've done it before.
Seems reasonable.
I want to roll insight on that last statement.
Yeah, okay. We've done it before?
On our displeasure to we've done it before. That.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'd like to do that too.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's true.
I mean, he's an orb, so there's not a whole lot you can glean from him, but
Prince ponders the orb.
Yeah. Sometimes the orb ponders back.
I've been waiting.
Anyway,
40 years I've been waiting.
In your pondering, it returns no knowledge as to whether he's being truthful or not. To your investigation, it seems as though you'd have no reason to believe he's not being honest.
Let me ask you this. Number one, what's your name?
Mia, what's your name?
O'Malley. O'Malley. The leprechaun.
All right, O'Malley. What would be a good what you want to trade? What do you want?
We're pretty easy to please. I mean, you're handling a dirty pair of me boots, so.
You like truffles? We got truffles. You want truffle? They're sweaty.
A pair of leprechaun boots is more in the trinket category than it would be in a food item. We can't eat food, so.
Just as sort of a baseline, so we understand value here, is it just a pair of boots?
Maybe.
Is it a pair of boots that's special to you and not many other people?
Could be.
It is small boots. None of us.
I take his word for it.
Can I roll Arcana on the candlestick?
Sure.
Why am I holding an eye?
I got 14.
Another orb speaks up. Because you caught it after you stole it from us. That eye there is from a displacer beast that I killed myself.
Sure it is.
Why did you have an eye from a displacer beast you killed yourself?
I don't have to answer to you.
I'd like to make an Arcana check on these random boots I have.
Okay. What was yours, Zenas?
14.
14 to check on the candlestick?
Yeah. 17.
You use all your magical prowess to look at the candlestick, and as you push your magical energy upon it to investigate it, the candlestick turns on, and instead of a flame at the top, the flame is in the shape of a dancing fairy.
not like aggressive, but I just like full force just throw it up into the group of lights.
And
catch it coming down.
One of the orbs begins to follow it back up and you hear him say, oh, looks like we got our answer.
Hey, Prince, why'd
you do that? Of course it's the French one.
You guys said it was
It was.
Yeah.
It was a cool candlestick though.
Yeah, but I have dark vision.
Yeah?
I can see in the dark. I don't need a candlestick.
Do your eyes dance in the dark?
Like if I look around fast enough, yeah.
Like a little fit.
17 on boots.
They're small boots that were once owned by a leprechaun.
User.
At Josh's question of my abilities, I cast Minor Illusion to create an image of the candlestick turned on and dancing in my hand. Like, yeah, sure.
That is kind of rude. You hear from the top of the fountain?
That wasn't for you. I had to prove a point to my friend.
Well. He proved the point to me. Yeah, it's all good.
22.
Arcana 20. On
the wand.
The wand. As you are checking, as you are checking the wand, you're like, oh, this seems like it has some sort of magical thing to it. And while you're waving it around, whenever you point it back towards your metal armor, it sucks to your metal armor. It's a magnetic wand.
I like it.
That's kind of cool. I thought it was going to be like a wand of
how strong is it? I want to try and pull it off.
It's pretty tough, but not like an extreme electromagnet.
Couldn't hold me up.
That's because there's some nuance to that. Not for long, maybe. Who knows?
Mm. All right, cool.
He's lightweight.
Cool. So I'm reach into my bag of holding and take out the iron cage that fairies can't open and stick a wand
in there. Just let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now the cage is magnetic. You can just stick it to your armor.
Hey!
So,
this is my wand!
I like this wand. What do you want for it?
As we said before, I mean, we're talking a trinket for trinket. We just like it. We're whisk. We just love interest in bubbles.
Bubbles. I got one orb of an eye here. I got a bag of, a whole lot of ball bearings. You want some ball bearings? I mean, that's a lot of little orbs in there.
Anything special about the ball bearings?
There's a lot of them.
Like 1,000.
Like a lot. Like a whole lot.
Any sentimentality to your ball bearings?
Yes.
Yeah, they were sentimental?
They were a very important person to me, maybe.
Maybe? What was this person to you?
Prince, I'm not good with this. Do I just roll with it?
Wait, are you trading this for your item?
My eye?
You don't even know what eye does.
Yeah, okay.
It just changes your eye color.
I don't have an eye from a displacer beast.
If we can do like a group deal...
No. One trinket per trinket.
No. I understand. But with his ball bearings, I will throw in a slingshot, and you guys can talk about how cool it would be to use your ball bearings.
That's a tool. It's not a trinket.
Right.
I am interested to learn about why these ball... Now, if they're sentimental enough, I might be convinced. He might be convinced.
He might be.
Might be convinced. They were once owned by a very important person. They were passed on for many, many generations.
What was this important person up to?
It's too many generations. I don't even remember, but they defeated a dragon with
a dragon?
Yeah, the other half of the 1,000 ball bearings.
The other half?
While he's doing that, can I cast Minor Illusion on the inside the bag just to create a small glowing
roll sleight of hand. And so I want you to roll a sleight of hand. If it's successful, you can roll persuasion with advantage.
That's an 8.
What's the perception of a will-o'-wisp?
I should just drop it straight down. I'll get a better roll. Yeah, I got an 18 that time.
Yeah.
So the will-o'-wisp notice you doing something with your fingers down there.
What you doing with your fingers?
It's going to be one of those episodes.
Huh? I'm just pointing at the bag, adding flair to his presentation.
Okay.
It needs a little bit of fanfare.
Hey, flair is fun. I need to know the story behind these things, sir.
Hold up. I got this. All right. I want to use Silent Image.
Okay.
So I can cast Silent Image at will. It's a 15-foot cube of whatever I want to show going on. So I want to display this 15-foot big screen 3D IMAX version of this warrior who's defeating this massive dragon, and it's hold on, yours.
All right.
And he's using nothing but ball bearings, and eventually the dragon just succumbs, and he falls. He gives up on life. He's done. Done with this.
So this will add advantage to your persuasion roll, but you still got to persuade this thing.
Yeah.
Roll persuasion.
Let's do it. 10.
That's with advantage.
Advantage.
10. Wait a minute. Let me actually roll a dice here. It's a plus 3.
Nah, can't do that, bro.
We're going to do it? It's 2. Well, that was an 8, so.
Yeah, okay. This is whether he's convinced or not by your tail. All
right. Let's do it.
1.
That's cool as hell, man. Hey! Yeah, give me some of those ball bearings.
All right.
Something like that. 5. 5 will do it. I'll just twiddle them around while we're up there in the well. We can't go far from here.
There you go. You know what? I'll give 5 to each of you. How's that?
No.
That particular one moves forward. He says,
threateningly,
don't you give this damn leprechaun any of my ball bearings.
I got you. I wink. Heavy wink. I got you.
He moves toward the bag.
And I give him 6 ball bearings.
You're good, man.
Hey, I really like this. Right?
The ball bearings begin to orbit him like planets around the sun as he flies back to the well.
It's actually kind of cool. That is really cool.
Nice. There now remains 2.
Hey, nobody tell Darla Grom about this.
The leprechaun. Yeah, the leprechaun is there, as well as the female one with the wand.
The boots again?
The leprechaun.
The wisp that sounds like a leprechaun.
You leprechaun wisp. Yeah. And I just... These are relatively small.
Oh, you don't want me boots now, eh? You climb me well. You jump in me water with your cat friend and you take me boots and you don't want to trade. Well, fine. I'll be going back. I'll see you in hell, me boyo.
And I grab it. Hold up. When he immediately starts smack-talking me, I immediately grab him back. I'm like, listen, man. I joined these two just to save this little small area and regain whatever I lost. Do not give me this crap. You or... since you're a leprechaun, a magical leprechaun, I just assume these boots were cool and magical, but these are just some old, musty, rusty boots, and I throw them back to you.
You notice the wisp follows the view of the boots flying back towards the well, I presume?
Yeah.
Then he looks back at you, and he gets really close to your face, and he says...
I live in a well full of poop, in a swamp that smells like a giant's arse. All I've got is crap to give.
And he flies away.
Well done, sir.
Well done.
Finally, there's one wisp who's like, so you want to make a trade for me from a wand?
Yes, yes, I do. So you like things that have sentimental value, yes?
We really like this bugbear, dude.
Flower. If I were to define an item is something with no sentimental value, but, you know, it's not a weapon, and I think a trinket's not a weapon, and, you know, really, the definition of a trinket is kind of nebulous, but to me, a trinket is something with some value to it.
I'll give you 2 options. Option number 1, this inkwell I have.
That's close to an item.
My teacher's inkwell.
Oh.
He used it to write his last letter to me.
Oh.
Option number 2, this flower.
No, Rusty, you can't give up the flower.
This flower was with me the day I met my party of adventurers many, many moon ago.
And it's still not wilted?
No, it's... It may have been yesterday.
Rusty, you can't give up the flower. It's too much. It's too much.
Flower is 1 to 10. Inkwell is 11 to 20.
Okay.
The flower looks nice.
Prepare.
For those of you listening at home, now is the time to go back and listen to the first episodes if you have not listened to them yet. She moves toward the flower.
At this point, I'm going to put like
maximum power.
A capacitor charging in the background.
So you release the flower and it feels as though a spiritual hand has grabbed it. Does anything happen?
Skadoosh.
I don't remember how to activate it. What was it? Did I have to say something to activate it before? Whatever I did last time, I activate it so it farts.
When somebody picks it up. Somebody touches it. Yeah.
Was that it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He grabs the flower and it releases a mighty and as the sound comes out, as if propelled by the fart, it spins off like a deflating balloon back to the well. And you guys are now alone at the bottom of one of these wells.
You see a flock of birds fly out of the trees.
in the mud and the muck, there's like little shockwaves.
I got to
hear it echoing out of the well.
I got a metal detector.
Hey, that's pretty cool. But oh, yeah, you lost the flower, though.
But you can make another one.
That's true.
So now...
In fact, if I make two more items, that flower will just be a flower.
You had a cool candle there for a minute, but I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't have anything to trade, and I don't want to trade anything I have.
You're right.
Not for that.
Before we go, can I toss a gold coin into the well?
Sure.
Cool.
I take out a gold coin, and I...
I deflect it.
Not like a manhole cover size coin, but just a regular gold coin, and just... Okay. And then flick it over into the well.
Would you...
And I'd say just, the safe travels.
Okay.
That leprechaun comes back and be like, hey, who did that?
Come busting up out yeah, that well.
Actually, from the top of the well, you can hear, well, top of the morning to you. all right, so you guys hop on the snail, and I assume begin to travel down toward where you believe downfall will be. Correct?
Yep.
Ironically,
we probably should have asked
where it is.
Yeah.
They don't know.
I don't know if they would get.
Do they know where the beach is?
They'd live in that well, man.
Okay.
They did well, Libus.
Hey, fellas.
You guys continue to travel on your snail, going towards where you believe downfall would be. You know, the mud is stinky. Got that cluff mud kind of smell. You eventually travel out of this kind of low spot where the well was. It's probably a good quarter mile. And eventually you get back on top of the mud instead of inside the mud. Robert seems overjoyed to have his whole body outside of the mud as you travel through this difficult terrain.
Does he pick up some speed?
He picks up a little bit of speed. All right. He's headed towards downfall, as well as kind of headed toward home. Because after an hour or two of riding, clippity and cloppying, doing the things that you do on Snailback, unless there's anything that you guys have planned for Snailback travels or conversation.
Nice.
All right.
I think we're good.
You guys approach what does not look like a town. But you do approach something.
Shandy?
A foggy marsh stretches out before you. Rickety causeways made of wooden planks form a wide web-like structure above the bog. 300 feet away, many of these causeways converge on an enormous ivy-covered tree stump that rises a good 10 feet above the 20-foot-high fog bank that enshrouds it. So you see a big foggy area. You can see a bunch of wooden plank pathways that kind of snake out away from this giant tree stump that kind of peeks out over the fog as you notice it from a distance. And
That's directly
in the direction that you guys were meant to be traveling.
Hey, anybody else see this, or is the swamp stink getting to me?
No, I see it.
I see it.
Unless we're all getting the swamp stink, I think I see it as well.
Is that the... city, and I'm using some air quotes here, that we're looking for?
Yes. I don't know.
The big shitty.
Right.
It is that.
what do you think? We're going to check it out?
Walking into his house next to us.
Well, it's in the way.
Howdy, ho, neighbor.
Hey, I get to make jokes sometime, too.
I just think it's funny to imagine.
Yeah. You got a briefcase?
Yep.
So, yeah, we're going to check it out.
As well.
Let's ride.
As you approach, there comes a point where Robert gets between two of these causeways that you know, kind of 300 feet away from the stump. There's less and less area in between the causeways, and the water tends to get a little bit deeper. These planks are now kind of floating on top of some mud, and he stops moving. He kind of eyeballs those planks, and he doesn't seem to want to go on top of the pieces of wood. They are rickety looking. They got splintery looks to them. You might deduce that a snail doesn't want to get a bunch of splinters in his feet or something like that. I don't know. But also the water gets a little bit deeper. So.
Hey, boy. You okay?
I'm good.
I don't think he was talking to you.
Right?
But I think we'll have to take the rest of the way on foot.
Yeah.
So, no more Robert?
At least not right now.
Yeah.
Robert, stay here, boy.
The eyeballs go up and down.
Alright, cool.
But not like nodding, like they just go straight up and down.
As you guys hop off of Robert, he turns his mouth to you with his eyeballs, and his mouth goes like he's...
Give him the truffle.
I'll give him the truffle.
You toss a truffle into Robert's mouth, and he... Delicious. He loves it. Mm-hmm, he says.
Why does he sound like unhappy Donald Duck?
I don't know.
Hey, tell you what, fellas, I don't know if I like Robert being here by himself.
You gonna stay behind?
No, but I think I'll go with you. I'll go with you, fellas. I'm gonna leave Dez here, keep an eye on Robert.
Your bird is a raven, right?
Yeah.
Your raven circles down from above. I assume maybe it was kind of keeping overwatch or something. It circles down and sits on Robert's back.
Yeah.
Not before it goes down and pecks a little bit of that truffle. Robert goes... trying to keep all the truffle for himself.
So if Robert eats the bird,
starts growling.
I'm not going to get back on Robert, number one.
Now,
Dez, you stay here, keep eye on Robert. Make sure, just make sure you two stay out of trouble, okay?
The bird nods.
All right, fellas. What are we looking for here?
Somebody special?
Or maybe like the mayor's house or hut?
I don't think we were finding a whole lot over with Jingle Jangle, but maybe we might be able to find some more answers to what we're looking for here. Yeah. You know, you ask more people, you get more answers, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Do we see people?
Yeah, do we?
Well, we're like 3 feet away. Well, is there a path, or is like the water deep we'd have to swim?
So, it is at least as deep as it was. It looks to be at least as deep as it was whenever you guys stood in it earlier, the two of you. So it will be very slow moving. You don't know how deep it is, but it looks about the same quality. And these paths all around you are widespread, but they do seem to kind of converge on this stump. Other than that, there aren't any other structures that you can really see from here. You can see a couple of docks coming off the side of some of these pathways and things. The wooden planks you now stand on eventually go out over some water and head towards this big stump.
Hey, Rusty, you gonna be okay with this?
Probably not. Who wants to carry me?
I hold my arms out like I'm about to jump.
That sounds like acknowledging to me.
Eric, can you,
I'm gonna jump on Eric.
Gosh, both sink into the swamp, never to be seen again.
Alright, so I just hold him on my back, I guess.
I'm like a little backpack.
Yep.
Put spurs to him. Giddy up.
Alright.
I guess we're doing this now.
Come on, new Robert.
Robert 2.
So you guys begin to walk through the fog on these 5-foot-wide plankety causeways. You're walking for a good long while. There are a lot of pathways. There's a lot of... And most importantly...
So wait, we didn't have to walk through the water?
Yeah, they're floating on top of the water.
Okay, that'll work.
Oh, you said they were 300 feet away.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we had to wave through the water.
Yeah, sorry. So, stump 300 feet away from you. Between you and the stump, there are a bunch of wooden pathways over the water.
Okay,
yeah.
Retcon.
You're just going to carry him anyway.
Eric as a springboard to jump to the path.
Sorry, I didn't... So, in my head, I guess maybe I didn't describe it properly. In my head, you guys have come up beside one of these wooden pathways. Before you, your snail companion knows that the water gets deeper, the pathways are treacherous, and whatever else he might know about this area. He stops next to one of those wooden things. You guys are able to hop off onto the wooden path, which will carry you to a web of wooden paths that seem to get more and more congested as they go towards the stump.
That'll work.
Does that make sense?
We need a snorkel for our Robert. Both of you, actually.
All terrain.
So you guys go traveling down these wooden pathways. The fog gets thicker and thicker and thicker to the point where it's hard to even see directly in front of you.
Like a bowl of oatmeal.
Thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. Who has the highest perception? As you guys continue to walk towards the stump, who has the highest passive perception?
I got 12.
I got 13.
Fence?
16.
Woo!
16, that's the highest?
Good looking.
Sound like it.
Okay. So, Prince, as you guys walk, everybody else is pretty... I mean, everybody is pretty on alert. You know, you're in a new place, heavy fog, hard to see anything around you. But Prince, keeping his head on a swivel at all times, An odd feeling suddenly comes over you, Prince, as you become aware that somewhere along the way, a hunched, hooded figure has joined your group. There is someone now walking very near to you that's hunched over.
Push him in the door.
You do?
Hey, what was that?
You can if you want.
Yeah. How big is this hunched, hooded figure?
Good 20 feet tall.
Yeah, I'm imagining like 4 feet tall.
So yeah. That's, okay. Like, is it just like a like an orphan child just walking home?
It's about as tall as a regular person. If you were to evaluate this person to look at their height, they're about as tall as those rabbit things were earlier, but it's hooded. You can't tell that it has ears or anything. So roll a
strength.
Yeah, roll an unarmed attack.
Roll an unarmed attack.
Roll your
or just straight strength.
Your attempt is to push him off the thing.
Yeah, not hurt him. Just push him off into the water.
I think I'd say a push is an unarmed attack.
I got a 5.
Okay, 5. So.
They push back.
Yeah. Whenever you attempt to turn around and push this creature off of the thing, which I can imagine, like, is this, what's your head, what's your, where's your head at? Is it so surprise? What is it?
It's not necessarily surprise. It's just like, oh, this person's here. I don't really want them in my space. I wasn't going to, like, full-blown, like, turn and, like, straight aggressive, like, push them off. Just, like, if they're beside me, just, like, shove.
Okay, gotcha. You attempt to shove at them. And even though it was a kind of an offhanded, if you're not watching on YouTube, which I imagine most people aren't, but you can, but it doesn't have the cool edits.
Please do.
But because it was kind of an offhand, calm, just get away from us kind of shove, it was, you know, kind of light. But the person you're trying to shove makes a very big show of it. And he says, "Oh, you should not have done that!" And he throws his cloak off as it,
oh god,
as
nothing
it,
underneath,
as it waves off, as it waves off into the swamp and splats into the mud and then sinks down. The first thing you notice about this creature is he is a rabbit creature, a herringon. The second thing you notice is that he is wearing a beautiful blue scarf that wraps around his neck, and the long end of it flows 15 feet away from his body into the slow-flowing wind. And he raises his hand. In one hand, he holds like a brass shield. In the other hand, he holds a branding iron that's red hot on the end. And he says, "You have attempted to attack Agdon Longscarf."
Not Agdon Longscarf.
Yes, Agdon Longscarf, the most fastiest brigand in all of hither.
Question. Prince, who's your friend?
Fastiest?
The fastiest! Don't you know about being fasty? It's like fast, but faster! Fastier than lightning! And he hops back and forth on the bridge. Meanwhile, in the background, you can hear the sound of bagpipes. Almost.
That's the best bagpipe I've ever heard.
Almost hyping him up.
I'd be willing to wager that I'm a little bit faster than you are.
Is it
just, would you now?
Yeah, he's pretty quick.
Just a little bit.
Is it just you? I heard a little bit of something else.
No, it's not just me. It's never just me. Myself and my brigand band are here. And he gestures behind you. There are two boats heading towards you from the other side of the group in the water. Each one of them contains three regular looking herringon fellas brandishing clubs and another one. Hold on, I need to find the appendix. And another one brandishing some sort of ranged weapon, which I will tell you about.
Sling. On page 87.
Is it a corn dog?
It's not.
The ultimate ranged weapon.
It is. It's a corn dog.
Could you imagine a corn dog in your hand and you like sling it and the wiener just flies out like a bullet?
Just off the stick or like completely out of the bread? And everything.
Out of the bread.
That's what I was imagining.
It's like
breading. Looks like a shotgun. Now I wanna have like a massive corn dog that's been shrunk down, and when you throw it, it expands to like the size of a boat.
I'm curious, what does it say on the page? Like, is it a corn dog?
No, it's they're brandishing crossbows as they come toward you.
What kind of music do you play?
The song. What?
He said, "This is my band. This is my merry band."
He says, "Well, he says, why don't you listen? I hear you've heard the song before." And then the bagpipes begin to play music to the same tune of the song you heard those rabbits singing earlier, before you murdered a few of them.
Yeah, viciously.
And stole their snail.
I didn't murder any of them.
I murdered some. Stole their sling. Made one of them think he was crazy.
That's right.
Robert, save us!
Good times.
I'm gonna just get... Are they too busy singing now?
Are you about to threaten this guy?
No.
Anyway, seriously, though, back to the fast thing.
I'm gonna just get straight to the point. What do you want?
Never mind, we'll come around.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
What
do you think? It was like, what do you want? It's just like...
John.
I guess it's because you growl everything.
Have you looked at the calendar?
Get down and do it.
This is Girl Scout cookie season. You know what they want.
Oh, you fight.
About Tree City. Sorry, Keith.
It's okay.
You do D&D stuff.
Agdon says, "You say you're fast, but are you fast enough to stop me?" And he bounds through your group. Bing, 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 bing. All the way through down the causeway to the other side.
Can I throw my knife at him?
Hold on. After this.
Still got a bell attached to it.
Yeah, do we get any kind of reaction?
I'm going to take your...
Go ahead and start rolling a...
rabbit's foot?
Initiative for me. But this is how we're going to start our initiative roll. I need to know Zenas, I also am going to need to know your passive perception.
16. Watch this.
16. All right. So as he passes by you, I need to know what valuables you have on your person, if anything.
Us or him? I wasn't listening.
Us.
So I mostly have just
what valuables he has.
The
I'm asking, like, is he talking all of us or just him? Since he was asking.
I've got the sword from the thing. Mm-hmm. I've got gold, the butterfly crown, and a shrinking potion. Those are the most valuable things I possess.
Okay. He speeds past you, and as he gets on the other side, backed up by his Harrigan brigands on the two skiffs coming towards you, as he goes through, he stands, takes a bow, and he holds your monarch crown in his hand.
I'm going to call out to him.
You know, to be honest, I'm not really attached to that. Good job, loser.
Zing.
That's no way to treat the most well-known brigand in Hither. Get him, boys!
No, but killing your men is.
He's unperturbed currently.